Hey, Sharnold.
Yeah, Zach.
I have a question. I don't think we finished last week, did we? The part one of this whole special? So wouldn't this be part two?
Warning, this podcast contains extreme spoilers for Venom number 200, Planet-Sized X-Men, Black Widow number 45, Fantastic Four number 30, and Iron Man Annual number 1.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Doombots podcast. We're the Doombots. I'm Zach.
And I'm Sharnold.
And today we're back for the second part of our 1 year anniversary because we can't get enough of us. And today we're going to keep exploring all the ways in which we have fucking ruined comics for you forever over the past year. Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiled.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's not the same thing.
I agree. And I disagree with your interpretation of how we do this. Also, I disagree with your interpretation of what you think my goal is in this. I don't want to make people enjoy this more.
Oh boy. That's a totally different mindset than what I've been coming at this podcast from.
Well,
I thought we were all about enjoyment.
Oh, we are. And I really enjoy ruining things for everyone. So, today we're going to keep going from where we left off before, which is Sharnold exploring what I remember and don't remember and then updating us.
Last episode was a recap of the first 8 episodes of this podcast.
Well, I mean, how many episodes could there be? There's like been like 10, 11 episodes?
Well, 27 now.
Okay.
Well, today's episode will be 28. So we only have 20 more to go.
Okay. We're not doing a recap of last episode. So.
That's what I was going to say that we should do.
No.
Real quick. Is recap the recap episode.
Absolutely not. I refuse.
Okay. Well, if last episode we got up to episode 8, that means that today we should start with
episode 9.
Yay, number.
Okay. Although I have to beg you that we aren't going to do every episode from the last 26.
Fine.
Okay. Thank you.
No, legitimately though, not all of them have as much to add on to our previous discussions as some of the earlier episodes do.
Well, there's just been less that has happened because they've happened more recently.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me a general clue as to what that might be?
Who is your son's favorite hero?
Spider-Man.
And who's the other
Miles
Spider-Man?
Morales. Got it.
Yeah.
Ding, ding. My memory? Flawless.
That's right. So, in episode 9, we talked a lot about how Miles is not native to the regular Marvel universe that we call the 616. Do you remember where Miles Morales comes from?
The Ultimates universe.
That's right. And do you remember what number the Ultimate universe is? I'd be very surprised if you do. It's a very specific thing to remember.
1605.
Oh, you're so 1602. Close. Oh, you're further away now.
16 something?
16 something, yeah.
1692.
Nope. So 1610 is the Ultimate universe's designation.
Got it.
And
okay.
So let's now talk a bit about what is going on with that. Since then, what we have seen is that Miles's Ultimate Universe, that's what it's called, Universe 1610,
mm-hmm.
Is alive and well.
What? And
yes. So, Ultimate Reed Richards has found his home, the Ultimate Universe, and he has gone back to it, and he is there. And then the Miles Morales, who was originally from the main Marvel Universe, Earth 616, has also gone to the Ultimate Universe, and
wait,
he's
no,
there.
Stop. No.
Yes.
Stop. Miles Morales of the Ultimates Universe is the one who has the Spider-Man powers.
Yes. And he now lives in the main Marvel Universe.
Yes. But does the Miles Morales of the main Marvel Universe have Spider-Man powers?
No. He's a different character.
What does he have?
He has a long-lasting, deep friendship with the Kingpin.
Why did he go to the Ultimate Universe?
So,
it feels like not a great trade-off.
So, when before the universes all died,
but then didn't.
Yeah.
So Marvel can't even kill a universe? Can't kill a character, and it can't kill a universe.
Nothing stays dead.
All right.
Before the universe has died, Miles is the 616's... Let's call him grown-up Miles, because he's an adult in this version.
Okay.
The love of his life died. And so Kingpin helped give him access to interdimensional or interuniversal or whatever travel so that he could go to a different universe and find another version of the love of his life.
Oh, he had that in between his, like, random crime business dealings?
Yeah.
Okay, fuck you.
And so so adult 616 Miles went to the Ultimate Universe.
If it's, well, okay, hold on. Yeah. Why is his age different?
So, Miles Morales and the Peter Parker of the Ultimate Universe are the same age. So, Miles Morales and the Peter Parker of 616 are also the same age. So, since current Peter Parker is an adult, so is Miles Morales. I think this is one of the worst stories that Marvel has ever told.
It really feels like it undercuts the significance of the Ultimate Universe being destroyed if it just isn't.
I hate everything about it so much that I'm not even angry anymore.
oh boy. That's a special level of Sharnold angry. Because Sharnold will hold on to anger. But if he just gives up on it, that means it's just dead to him. Wow. All right.
There are a lot of problems with the Marvel multiverse, and they had fixed some of those problems when they did the incursions, and now they have reintroduced all of those problems times a million. The multiverse is just a mess right now.
It sounds it.
Yeah, so I'm hoping someday soon someone will tell a story to kind of fix that, but I'm just done.
Okay. Well, let's move on then.
So next would be episode 10.
Okay.
And
no. Viruses.
No, that was 7. We already skipped that one.
Yeah, we already did that. All right. Okay.
What team?
Fantastic Four.
That's right.
Is it the Fantastic Four?
Fantastic Four. Yeah.
Fantastic. So I will tell you something, and this is something that I definitely will add to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
My memory is so bad that I honestly do not recall the episodes that we covered in the previous part of this 1 year anniversary. I would have sworn we already did Fantastic Four, and apparently we did not.
So, do you remember what other team they clashed with in a mini series that we talked about in our episode?
The X-Men.
It was the X-Men, okay. Yes. All right, so they fought.
Good. For them. Congrats.
Do you remember what member of the Fantastic Four has a strong connection to the X-Men and why?
Not super much so. That's a sentence.
So, Reed has 2 kids.
Yes, Franklin Richards.
Uh-huh.
And another one.
Yes, Valeria Richards.
Valeria Richards.
So, what is Franklin Richards' connection to the X-Men?
He's a mutant.
He is!
That's
no longer a mutant.
But I
We spent that entire episode talking about the interaction between the Fantastic Four and the X-Men's new island nation, Krakoa, caused by the fact that their son Franklin is an extremely powerful mutant.
Yes.
And then, like, a month after that, it was revealed that he is not and never has been a mutant.
But what, though? Why?
Okay,
hold on. But he is on all these, like, Omega-level mutant lists, and he's...
All of those were published before this comic I'm about to tell you about came out.
Okay.
Okay, so, while... It's such a crazy sentence.
But, hit me with it, Daddy.
While Franklin and Reed were out recreating the multiverse, once they were done and they got back,
took a nap.
Well, it was noted that Franklin's power levels kept diminishing, and so every time he used his powers, he had a little bit less. So he now has zero power left. And Professor Xavier immediately calls him up on Cerebro and is like, hey, bud, guess what I found out? Now that you're no longer using your powers to subconsciously manipulate your genetics, it turns out you are not and never were actually a mutant. You just, when your reality warping powers manifested, looked up to and admired mutants, and so you had been making it seem as though you were a mutant, but it wasn't actually the case. Well, it was just kind of a dick move of Xavier.
Yeah,
because a month ago, Xavier had personally gone to their house and been like, Franklin, why don't you come stay with us? You're such a good friend and a mutant. We want you here. And then as soon as he lost his powers, he was like, get the fuck off my island, you terrible, terrible human. I have always hated you.
Well, like, I'm glad to know that Xavier is every bit the piece of shit and worse that Reed Richards is.
And one of the things I'm really enjoying about Hoxpox, which is what I call the current status quo of the X-Men.
Yeah.
As you know, because you roll your eyes at me every time I say that.
So hard, they're going to shoot out of my eye sockets. Yes.
Is that Xavier has always been a huge asshole who routinely violates people's privacy
the guy who rights. Runs a child army school? The guy who has his own private military of teenagers and preteens with amazing powers that are out of control, so he manipulates them into using them for him?
Yeah.
That guy?
Yes, but he's always written as such a, benevolent good guy who sometimes has to, bend his morality for the greater good. But if you, really look at all the shit that he's done, he's, a huge asshole. And I love that they are now writing him as a huge asshole.
It's a good point. Never thought about that.
Episode number 11. Do you remember? So last week I was just giving you the numbers and letting you try to guess what episode it was.
Yeah.
Would you like more of a hint this time?
Yes.
Remember those people that we were just talking about?
The X-Men.
The ones that aren't the Fantastic Four?
The X-Men.
What did they do? That one
so
time.
So many things.
What did they do that one time that we had an entire episode about their latest crossover?
Oh, X of Swords.
Yeah.
Ten of Swords.
Yeah, that one.
I refuse. I hate it.
And until super extremely recently, there had been absolutely no fallout from that.
Right. I mean, the X of Swords, I remember in a previous episode you started talking about some big gala event, and you were very disappointed in this big gala event, that there was some big party everybody was going to. And
yeah, it's called the Hellfire Gala.
Hellfire, and you just could not physically care less about it.
It's like this big party that all the mutants on Krakoa are throwing for the people of the world, and they're inviting foreign dignitaries and bigwigs. And
they spent weeks or months establishing this cotillion.
Many months. Every X-Men comic, this was all they were talking about.
And party planning wasn't something you were particularly obsessed with?
It wasn't. And the thing is, it was supposed to be a big deal, right? They were talking about how it's a big deal, but they didn't say why it was a big deal. And so it was really hard for me to care.
Because it's a cotillion, Sharnold. It is the social event of the year.
I mean, it was.
But I don't give a shit about that.
But it turns out that at the end of the night, they did have quite a big announcement for the world and the readers of Marvel Comics. And
I mean, they all live on a sentient island, so how big could this announcement be?
They terraformed Mars.
Okay, hold on.
They were just boop.
I'm sorry. they terraformed Mars?
Yeah, so like Magneto went out into space and got a bunch of iron and like moved it, stirred it around down in the core of the planet because that's helpful, I guess.
Sure, yeah. You need to stir the iron around in the core of the planet.
And Storm went up there and brought some weather with her.
She packed some weather in her suitcase and
just went to Mars.
She packed some weather in a suitcase and went to Mars.
Yeah.
How did they get up to Mars?
Well, someone would have had to travel there at one point, and then they can just use a Krakoan gate. Okay. So one person, probably Magneto, because he can just go through space with his magnetism. well-known fact.
Yeah.
Zach,
okay.
He is immune to space because of magnets.
No, of course. That's why they magnetize all of the astronauts. But hold on. Why wouldn't they just bring like a reality warper who can just make Mars terraformed?
Reality warping is tricky. it never ends well, right? Like when you're changing things at that cosmic level, like problems start to arise.
Oh yeah, no, there's definitely not going to be any problems with just adding iron to the core of a planet and then spinning around like a fucking salad spinner.
Sure, I mean they made sure to do it scientifically, and then
oh yes, that sounds highly scientific. You just said Storm brought some weather with her.
Right, but that's different than changing the fundamental nature of reality.
Mostly disagree, but all right, sure.
Because they manipulated things the way that I can move a table and Magneto can move a building and Storm can move weather, but they didn't take the fabric of reality and twist it around. Though actually they sort of did, but only a little bit.
Oh my God.
just for their space station. They cloned the space station that they already had orbiting Earth using a reality warper.
Okay, you know what?
I know it sounds crazy, but in the comic book, it actually made a lot of sense. Like
no.
Like as off. I was reading Here's it, I was like, oh yeah, no, like I see what they're doing here. They're totally terraforming Mars. I get it.
Okay. So what does that mean now?
Well, so they took Arrakko, which was the other half of Krakoa that they had fought during Exoswords.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know. Yeah. Obviously.
And they put it on Mars. They
how?
They used magic to reverse the Otherworld gate. That part I didn't quite understand.
Oh yeah. No, that part, that's the part that doesn't make any sense. I have very serious reservations about them using magic to reverse the Otherworld gate to bring a sentient island to Mars.
One of the Arrakko mutants has an entire ocean inside of him.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, that's his mutant power. Is
what? How is what is the power? He just vomits an ocean constantly?
I mean, only when he wants to, not uncontrollably.
What circumstance? How do you find that out? Well,
normally, if you're, like, in a fight and you, like, breathe shark ocean water at somebody, it's gonna hurt them, right? But instead, they just, like, dug a big pit and he was like, blah, ocean, blah. And so it's got an ocean now.
Good God. Okay, so Arrakko is now on Mars.
Yes, and the part of this... So that was like their big announcement at the end of the gala, is they were like, guess what, world? We terraformed Mars. Ta-da! The part that I really liked is when they announced this to the rest of the universe. So they got all the intergalactic representatives from like the Shi'ar Empire and the Alliance, the Kree and the Skrull, and the other space people, and they sat them all down in a nice little
setting,
yeah,
and, like with a fireplace and a cozy rug,
yeah. Okay. And we're like, so guys, from now on, when you want to deal with the Sol system, instead of dealing with Earth, you're going to be dealing with Mars. Mars is now the capital of this solar system. and some of them were like, what? And some of them were like, okay. And then Dr. Doom teleported in and was like, how dare you say this without consulting me? Who will speak for Earth if we are only to speak through Mars? And then Storm shows up and she says, I am the Queen of Mars and you shall speak through me. And Doom was like, okay. I'm okay with that, actually. And I thought that was great. So Storm is now the Queen of Mars, and she is the intergalactic representative of the Sol solar system.
Oh boy. That's a lot of things. I guess that cotillion was worth it.
It did turn out to be a pretty big deal. So there you go. I wasn't a huge fan of the comics leading up to it, where everybody was like, let's talk about this party. But the end game, I'm totally down with.
All right.
Okay, so that's what's going on with the X-Men right now.
Well, yep, that's how it goes.
And so then the next episode happened in December?
Christmas.
Yes.
Okay. I do remember learning about the different elves and freaking out that they were canonically Christmas elves from Asgardian realm or whatever.
Yeah. That Santa's elves are the same as the Norse elves.
I do also know that we won't ever do another Christmas episode because we did the one and that was all the Christmas that there is to do.
Yeah.
We stretched that so hard to find even the information we could about that.
All right. So then the next one is where all of the best band names come from.
Infinity Gems.
Yeah.
Adam Warlock and the Infinity Gauntlet. Was that what it is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No. Adam Warlock and the Infinity Watch.
Yes. Yeah. Firehose of Dogs.
Yep.
Oh, there was one more.
Multicolored MacGuffins.
Multicolored MacGuffins. So good.
Okay,
so good.
Do you remember what the status of the Infinity Stones was at the end of our discussion about that?
If I remember correctly, they had fused with human hosts, including a prisoner, I believe, who got the time stone.
Yeah.
And
Hector Bautista is his name.
And uses it to escape prison.
Yep. And then he goes on an adventure with Wolverine and Loki, but, you know, that's just a whole other thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it because we ran out of time.
Okay. And then the other, I believe, was a villain named Star?
Yes!
Who got the power stone.
No.
Okay.
She got the reality stone. And what? Used it to become powerful.
You had one job, Star. You had two jobs. One was, come up with a good name, and you fucked that up. The second was, use your reality stone, and you fucked that up.
Yeah.
All right.
So, as of right now, like, we are in the middle of a crossover event that is happening in the various annuals that are being published. And it is setting up what is going to come next with the Infinity Stones by looking at different people who are searching for the Infinity Stones. We also had some short one-off adventures with Star and Hector.
So they are both evil. Villains,
they're not,
I guess. They're
antagonists. So, like, Star fought Spider-Man because she had been using the Reality Stone to, like, get rich, and turns out she brought her family back to life, and Spider-Man was like, I know how hard it is to grieve about death, but you can't do that, and then she was like, okay, and that was the end of that. And
I mean,
so,
it feels like she could.
She did for a while until Spider-Man gave her a good speech.
But, it worked, though.
And
she didn't have to make any deals with the devil.
Well, she didn't, no, because she has the reality stone.
So Spider-Man just being a petty bitch who, like, can't deal with the fact that anytime he wants to do anything, he has to make a deal with the devil?
I mean, maybe, yeah. He's sad about all of the friends that he has lost, so Star's not allowed to bring her loved ones back to life.
And she's the villain in this story?
It's interesting because when you warp reality, is what you did real, right? His whole thing was like, it's not real, Star. You're just making it. But it isn't like an illusion. It's not like a mind trick. Like,
yeah.
She
no,
created
wrong.
People.
I hate to tell you this because I know it hurts you on the inside.
This can never be the case.
He's wrong.
He is flawless.
But he's...
He never makes mistakes. That's never what his comics are about.
But I mean, he's just like, he's factually incorrect.
I'm going to give it to you on this one.
Yeah.
And Hector ran away from Captain America for a while because he's so bad with the Time Stone, Zach.
Is he worse with the time stone than she is with the power stone?
Yeah.
Or the reality stone?
Yeah. So, like, all he can do is stop time, and he can only do it, like, around him.
Wait, okay, you keep saying with.
It is fused inside his chest.
But it sounds like they both have access to it the same way as if they just had it.
It's exactly the same as that, except that it's fused inside their chests. So I'm not entirely sure. I don't know.
Okay.
Ask Adam Warlock. He's the one that gave them...
Yeah, I'll call him up. hey. Beep, boop, 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 boop. Hey, Adam?
Adam Warlock speaking.
Oh, shit. This is a fake phone. How did he do that?
I am magic. I'm the perfect man. I have mysterious cosmic soul power.
Okay, well, you fucked up these time stones, bitch.
Oops. Not again!
Oops! 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 I love the idea of some sort of all-powerful mega being going, shit. Yeah, you're right. Well, fuck it.
I mean, it is funny.
Oops! God damn, that was funny.
So, Adam Warlock... like, does tend to get called in to, like, clean up the mess of the Infinity Stones, but his actions always end up making the next mess that then leads to whatever the next big event thing is. So he's not really better at it than other people. So the main thing that we have learned...
Oops! Okay.
So the main thing that we have discovered is that we know now also where the Space Stone is. The Space Stone is with a guy named Quantum, and he is working for the Assessor, who is a Miles Morales villain.
Sharnold?
Yeah?
You have said a lot of amazing things over the course of the last year.
Why, thank you.
Things that are just at next level... banana pudding crazy. Some of the sentences that you say are so delectably drunken Mad Libs.
So it starts with dead celestials just falling out of the sky all over Earth.
So they're bio-organic mechanized space gods.
Yeah.
Don't say yeah, like that's like my description of that was reasonable.
When okay. Loki came and pronounced that this is the case, everybody was like, ah!
everybody
just came out of my mouth. Now that the Avengers used the Unimind to purge the Horde, they're alive and they're fine. When Doctor Strange went to try to fix Vegas, it ended up becoming a city of the undead.
But then as soon as you get to a bunch of Nazis, just splooge city.
She was out in space doing some harvesting for the Roxxon Corporation, and she accidentally got kidnapped by space pirates. And he has a line. The Star Brand, the spirit of vengeance, the defeat of the celestial final host. I see what you are building, Avengers, even if you do not. Miles Morales, the new Spider-Man,
yeah.
Brought his mom back to life with a sandwich. High evolutionary is the reason that Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch sometimes are and sometimes aren't the children of Magneto. Because of the one time that Dracula invaded England and the reason no one saw his coming is because he invaded from the moon. He just likes to kill people. So he'll jump on any murder bandwagon.
It's all just a smorgasbord of nonsense.
Yeah.
Another great band name. Oh my god.
Yeah. Meteors are machines that bacteria control. Her magic bloodstone had been corrupted by this monster called the Bone Beast. You know how Galactus is from the previous universe before the Big Bang? Okay. It's a great sentence.
It's a sentence.
This is crazy ass bananas the way that I like it. Okay, so the next episode, we talked to a special friend.
Yes, we did. Mike.
Yeah.
And we did Incredible Hulk.
Or?
The Immortal Hulk.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
You and I were both really enjoying that comic. And
yes.
We had talked about how it was coming to a close.
Mm-hmm.
and that once it was done, we should do another episode to sort of talk about how it ended up wrapping up.
Right.
It's set to go for 50 issues.
Okay.
We have gotten to issue 48.
Yes.
And nothing new has happened in the 6 to 7 months since we recorded. So, like, the last thing that happened that we talked about in our episode was the big reveal about how the leader was behind all this.
Well, and technically, that was in our episode with Mike, though.
It was in the next one, where we continued talking about Immortal Hulk.
Because Immortal Hulk was so goddamn good that it deserved 2 full episodes.
Yeah.
2 very full, long episodes.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, it's so good.
It really is. So, the last thing that we talked about was the big reveal that the leader was, like, in cahoots with the one below all, and he had taken...
The bonus devil.
The bonus devil, yes. That's and right. He had taken control of Banner.
Sure.
So, like
there things have happened.
Things have happened, but the real plot has not progressed any. I really want to see how it concludes, but he only has 2 issues left, and I'm a little worried that he's written himself into a closed corner.
No. There's no such thing as a closed corner. You just punch your way out of it.
Yeah, like, I mean, my imagination says there's easily 10 issues worth of stuff in order to wrap up everything that they've established.
Well, you got 2.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
So then we did our Valentine's Day episode about Wanda and Vision.
Sure.
And then you did that Batman episode.
Sure.
And then we did an episode about the Winter Soldier, a.k.a. the Man on the Wall.
A.k.a. the worst person at any job there's ever been.
Yeah.
Okay, so... So that
brings us to episode 19.
Okay.
Where someone got promoted to a high-ranking job that they may have not deserved.
Monster Island?
Yeah.
The King of Monster Island? Where the monsters all live on Staten Island?
Like you do.
Like you do.
And who's their king?
Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's called Deadpool, King of Monster Island.
Yeah.
Is that your full trivia question for this one? Because
that's all I got. So
okay,
do you remember how we ended the episode?
He has to fight. Well, it ended. It was a very short run. It was only 10 episodes. Yeah, 10 issues, I think.
Yeah.
And it, if I believe, it ended introducing the King in Black crossover.
Correct. Since then, 1 Deadpool comic has come out. And it was...
The special?
It was his Nerdy 30 Year of Creation Anniversary Special.
Okay.
Which was an anthology with pretty much every creator who had had a run on Deadpool came back and did a short. And it was a good comic.
I find it amazing that multiple months could have passed and there haven't been hundreds of Deadpool comics.
I agree. Like, my mind is blown. And so there is also another Deadpool comic coming up, which is called Red, White, and Black, which is a series that they've been doing. It's basically another anthology. They started with Wolverine, and then they did Carnage, and now they're adding Deadpool. There are no colors, except for black, white,
and
red. And there's lots of blood. And so, you know, it's like a whole celebration of violence for characters like Wolverine, Carnage, and Deadpool.
Sure, sure. Were they inspired by the old Riddle joke, what's black and white and red all over?
Probably.
Because the answer is a newspaper or a nun falling down the stairs with a chainsaw.
A colorless chainsaw? Or like a red chainsaw, I guess?
Because the blood.
Right, but like chainsaws have colors too.
You are the worst person I've ever met. And I hate
like,
you.
Like the blades on a chainsaw tend to be like a rusty gray.
I want to punch you in the face. Dubitable?
It was indubitable.
It was indubitable. Oh, shit, we're recording. Okay, your levels look good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was talking about none of those things.
Oh, okay.
No, because I have no idea what you mean. Look, as 2 white males, our job.
God damn it, Chernal.
to tell everyone else what they can and cannot do.
How many times have I told you to not phrase it like that?
Yeah.
It was Dick.
That's Dick, yeah. That's Dick.
we say a lot of things and a lot of them are wrong. So we need to know which one you are pointing out is wrong specifically in this case.
Very well. I have my own mutants. Bebop, Rocksteady, destroy them! With great pleasure, Master Shredder. Jump for it! The mutations didn't up their IQs any. What if you were the one who tried to kill the child as an infant?
Oh my god.
But were unsuccessful.
Well then,
do you tell him that part too? It's all doing its whatnot. And the hooey.
Kinda. I feel personally attacked by this.
You've now recorded yourself mentioning putting your penis into salt.
That's a dollar for every time. Again,
there isn't a kid, except for like an accident baby, which is also happens literally all the time. But then you just chuck them in. I'm editing this episode.
The episode after that was another one of our list episodes, and it might have listed more things than we had originally intended.
Why is that, Charmin?
I don't know. Could it have something to do with me
beasts.
And my obsessive behavior?
It was beasts.
Not
or animals. Beasts. It was animals.
Not just animals.
Pets.
It was pets.
You're right. I guess I shouldn't say beasts, because there's actually a character called Beast.
Yeah. Well, and there were lots of animal characters that we specifically didn't talk about.
True.
Because they aren't pets. True. Frog Thor is no man's pet. I have no follow-up for that.
Okay, good.
I just wanted us to reminisce because I really liked that episode because I really like pets.
You just wanted to yell, Frog Thor is no man's pet. The entire purpose for bringing that up.
Every chance I get.
All right.
All right, so then the next episode was the last time that we did sort of a live reaction to a big crossover event.
I feel that I don't have any memory at all.
It was episode number 21, so...
Oh, it was the King in Black.
It was King in Black!
That's right, yeah. that's right.
Who is the King in Black?
Someone who existed before all the other universes.
Right. Because
there's been 8 universes or something.
Yeah.
And... he's the king of the symbiotes, and
he's the god of the symbiotes.
The god of the symbiotes. I guess they called the King in Black.
Yeah, they called the crossover King in Black.
Okay, he's the god of the symbiotes, and his name is Null.
Uh huh. K-N-U-L-L.
Mm-hmm. And he's from a planet called something.
No, he created the planet Clintar, where the symbiotes are from.
But also, Clintar means symbiote, right?
Clintar means cage.
Got it.
Because the symbiotes had been holding him. The planet that the symbiotes were from turned out to be just billions of symbiotes all wrapped around Null, keeping him in check and preventing him from going out and murdering people.
Got it.
But then he reestablished control over them and came to Earth and was like, time for murder.
And he was defeated by some cosmic entity.
Uh-huh. Called the Enigma Force.
The Enigma Force, which fused with Venom.
Uh-huh. Well, it specifically didn't fuse with Venom.
Okay.
It specifically fused with Eddie. And
not
his symbiote.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember all that.
So, the world was saved, and there were no further consequences of there having been a galactic invasion that led to the sun being blocked out for at least a while. So Venom has a new status quo now that that big crossover is over.
Sure.
Eddie is the new King in Black, meaning he is the god of the symbiotes.
Right.
Which means that he is not choosing to control them, but he has a mental connection to all of the symbiotes all over the universe, and he is, like, helping to guide them so that they can be a force for goodness.
That's a cool concept.
I like it. He's also been artificially aged because apparently this is taking a toll on his body, which...
I mean, I get that. Have you ever seen a president?
It's very true. They didn't need to artificially age him. I felt like they did that because now that he is playing the sort of man in the chair role, they...
Right.
Because of stereotypes, he should be older and his body should be more feeble.
Yeah, I mean...
And it also...
It's actually... an apt analogy I made earlier with the president thing, because he is the god of all the symbiotes around the world, and the president is in charge of all the shape-shifting lizard people that run our government.
Which is basically the same thing. my point being, I think that it was unnecessary and it writes them into a hole because basically the amount of time that has passed since the King in Black crossover and the Venom issue 200, which is the one that revealed this, is maybe a month or two. And the amount that he has aged is like 60 years. And so my guess is he's gonna stay Old Man Brock.
That's weird.
But what should happen is he should age to dead in another month or two, right? So, like,
yeah.
Like it didn't quite work for me. But what worked for me really well is that the person who has taken up the Venom symbiote, now that Eddie is the god, is his son, Dylan.
Yes, I remember talking about the son during the episode.
And his son's, like, 15.
That's a lot of power for a 15-year-old.
It is, and I really like it. And I really like the dynamic between the three of them. Yeah, so I'm excited to see what comes next.
Great.
with that. I think that was a really cool new place to leave both Eddie and Venom, who are now two separate people.
Okay, so what's our next one then?
The next episode is the episode that you have listened to the most.
Mother's Day.
Yes.
I love that episode. I'm not one to toot my own horn. What am I talking about? That's complete horseshit. I love me. But the Mother's Day episode, first of all, there's so much that didn't make it into the episode that is so fucking funny. And almost all of it is about how you probably shouldn't kick your baby into a river. And when I go back and listen to the edited version, it still makes me laugh. The things you say are fucking bonkers in that episode, and I love it. And I don't know if there's anything to talk about other than how much
no,
I love it.
No.
It's such a good episode.
So then the next one was probably my favorite episode, and that was MODOK.
Solid episode. What I liked about that episode was the short, concise 4-episode story arc, and it built him as a character for the first time in a way that wasn't just redundant and stupid.
Yeah.
And was also full of crazy shit.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy shit.
That 4-issue mini, I mean, I know it hasn't been a super long time, but is still my favorite mini series. Like, it took a character who was just a joke character and really developed him into someone that I care about.
So I have not watched the MODOK series on Hulu yet. I think you've watched all of it.
Oh, yes, I did.
Does it tie into the comic?
Not at all. Okay. The only thing is the family.
Okay. And so the MODOK TV show you would recommend?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. It's so weird. Like, there are no laugh-out-loud, like, joke moments, but it's got, like, some crazy bananas shit that is like fun to go with him on this journey.
So it's like a McSweeney's book.
It is, yes.
It's the McSweeney's book of visceral claymation gore.
Yeah.
Okay.
When just treating MODOK like a regular person is just such a bizarre concept by itself that I just love it. It's great.
Okay.
And Patton Oswalt is obviously...
I mean, he's always flawless.
Yeah.
Literally flawless.
So the next episode was also about a TV show.
Why, Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Loki, but that's not really what we talked about in the episode.
TVA.
Yeah.
We talked about the TVA.
Yeah.
Now, I doubt there's been much development in the comics.
In the comics, there hasn't been any development, but there was some stuff that happened in Disney Plus.
Now, I don't want to talk about the Loki show.
Right, but it was so...
I know. No, it was fantastic. But I do feel that there are a lot of people who have not seen it. And I know we spoil stuff, but we usually spoil stuff that's probably several years old or several months old or is some big grand storyline that no one's going to be able to read all 75 collective issues of.
And also the life cycle of comics is very different than the life cycle of TV shows.
Yeah. I just think that this show is so fresh, and also you should just fucking watch it. It's so good.
And there's no way to say...
anyone who says otherwise is factually incorrect.
But there's no way to talk about it at all without massive spoilers. Anything that we say.
I think we should leave it at that.
Yeah.
And just say watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it. Because it's the best version of the TVA.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite versions of the Loki character.
Yep. Most of the time that I watch a show, even a show that I like, some of my first thoughts are, I would like it more if they changed this or that. Like, even with Marvel Comics, which I love, you will often notice me critiquing them on this podcast.
For sure.
With a, maybe they should have done this, maybe they shouldn't have done that. I didn't have any of those thoughts watching Loki. I'm not saying it's a perfect show. I'm just saying it was so good that those thoughts weren't creeping into my head because I was that engaged with just enjoying it.
Here's how good it is. If you're a regular listener of the show or anyone who's ever met me in passing, it's a show about time travel that I love.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate time travel.
Yeah.
In almost every circumstance outside of comedies. And sometimes
in comedies
also
too.
Then. I hate it. And it's so good in this. And it works so well. It's just great. It's just, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So then the next episode after that, we recorded 3 years ago.
No, it wasn't 3 years ago. It was 7 years ago.
Oh.
No, it was in October, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. It was when to be fair, it's when we thought Black Widow was going to come out.
Yeah.
It was Black Widow.
It was.
And
do
I
you
know
remember
not,
anything?
No, not one thing. Not a single thing. Couldn't fucking tell you a single thing. She's the world's deadliest assassin.
She is, yeah.
End of memory of that entire thing.
Okay.
And they don't use her well in anything.
That's correct. But I really like the Black Widow movie, so let's also not spoil that either. As
right,
because
that's
just
out right now,
out.
Too.
But my follow-up is that way back when we recorded this, Kelly Thompson's run on Black Widow had not started. And Kelly Thompson is the same writer who did Deadpool King of the Monsters.
Of the Monsters.
Yes.
Right, I remember that.
And she's currently about 10 issues into a Black Widow run.
Is it good?
It's very good, but I also have some strong critiques for it.
Okay.
So one of the main things that we talked about in the Black Widow episode is how she doesn't always get to be the star of her own story.
Mm-hmm.
And that same thing happened here. The main premise is that she has been mind wiped and she's now living with a husband and a young infant son in San Francisco, and she's an architect, and basically all of her villains, realizing that they could never kill her in order to take her off the board, have established this idyllic life that she has always wanted, so that...
And now it's up to Hawkeye to save her?
Hawkeye and Winter Soldier... and rescue her.
I read the first episode of the first issue of this storyline.
Yeah.
And I remember it introduced some villain who seemed
Arcade.
Ridiculously
yes.
not scary.
Arcade is the one who put together a lot of the world that she is in. But the ones who are behind Arcade are all of Natasha's villains ever have come together to make this happen.
Okay.
Basically, she discovers her real memories. What a shock when Hawkeye and Winter Soldier and also Yelena, the other Black Widow,
mm-hmm.
come in to sort of save her. And she notices herself like fighting well. And she's like, oh, I've got these instincts. And so her memories come back. But she also keeps the memory of her family, her husband, Steve, and her son, James. And so they fake their death. And then the Winter Soldier goes and hides them somewhere. So they're still alive. The kid is biologically Natasha's because he was grown in a clone factory like you do. but she specifically doesn't know where they are so that they can't be used against her.
Steve was the husband?
Steve was the husband and James is...
Was he also brainwashed?
No, he was also grown in a clone factory. But now has real... human thoughts, as you like to say.
He was also grown in a clone factory. Who's he a clone of?
They didn't say. Just some cobbled together DNA, probably.
I don't think Marvel understands what or how clones work or are.
In the Marvel universe, there are a few people who can make clones the way that you and I build Legos. They're
no
just like
fucking
boop, boop,
sense
boop, here's your
all.
Clone
no I'm not okay with that. Why that, though? Why not just make him a guy who's brainwashed?
Because they wanted it to be real. I don't know. That's what they say.
But that doesn't make any sense, because he has to have the memories implanted for them to be married and have a kid.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so why is that any more or less real than if you implanted them in another captured person, the way that Natasha was captured?
Yes.
I think it is so that now that they all remember everything, he doesn't have to go back to his old life. He can just raise their kid. And
I mean, but it's so much more interesting and complex if you have it where he has this balance between a life he was stolen away from and this new life that he has. Or you could have just made him like
great.
You could have made him somebody who was the kidnapped off the street who didn't have a family he wanted to get back to, or somebody who volunteered for this, or it could have been anything. Like, there's any way you write out of it where you don't need the words clone factory to be like, I kind of get it for the kid, because I guess kidnapping a kid is too evil for these villains who want to murder this woman.
Well, and for some reason it was important that it biologically be hers.
Why?
For the realism of setting.
I have heard before that women can't love their babies if they're not biologically theirs, which is why, and this is a fact, no adoption has ever been successful. What are you, what?
Look, they're villains, so.
No, you mean the people who run Marvel? Like, what are you talking about?
The people who created Natasha's son.
No, but what I'm saying is, this is such a weird thing that Marvel does, where they make these bizarre, and I feel wholly unintentional, morality calls.
They do, yeah.
Like, and it's so weird, because they try to, like, cheap out in certain ways, where they're like, well, we don't want to have to make any real moral choices. But then other ways, they're, like, super judgy of other possible moralities. Like, obviously, I'm obviously referring to Spider-Man's marriage and how divorce couldn't possibly... Divorce is something evil and wrong, evidently, which is...
According to Joe Quesada.
It's so fucking crazy. It's so crazy. It's so crazy, Sharnold. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't disagree with you, but I also think that arguing about it more isn't going to fix anything.
Okay. I think that was our last episode before our 1 year.
Nope.
Oh my God, I'm so bad at this. What was it? What was more? What was more?
What happened in Vietnam?
Captain America, right, 4th mm-hmm. of July. That's mm-hmm. right, I remember.
So
I remember what happened in Vietnam. Nothing, because it doesn't exist now.
It still exists, that's just not where the war was.
I meant the Vietnam War didn't exist. And Captain America stopped. Captain America Scooby-Dooed Nixon into killing himself.
Right.
That's right.
That was his reaction to Watergate.
And then he was Hitler.
Yeah.
Any Captain America stuff you want to talk about?
One of the things that sort of ties into some of the stuff that we touched on last time is the best retcon of all time. Right around the time of the first Secret Empire was when Agent Peggy Carter was established.
Uh-huh.
And when she was first established, it was the mid-70s. Okay. So she, who had been a resistance fighter during World War II, was old-ish, but not, like, super old.
Sure.
And Sharon Carter, Cap's new love interest, Agent 13,
yes,
was her sister.
Okay.
And so, first of all, there were weird conversations about that, where Steve wouldn't tell Peggy that he and Sharon were dating, because Peggy thought that Steve would still be in love with her. And so there was this crazy relationship triangle with, how can I tell her that I'm in love with her sister?
How long ago was this?
This was in the 70s.
Okay.
So, wow. So that was also going on in the background of all of the Secret Empire stuff we talked about last time.
Okay.
So it has since been retconned that Peggy Carter had been mentally manipulated into thinking that Sharon was her sister, when in reality, of course, it is her niece. And by niece, I mean great niece, because it's 2020
now. Enormous age difference, yes.
And I can't wait to see what the next thing happens.
Who did that?
Like, what writer?
Well, no, how was she mentally manipulated into thinking it was her sister?
Oh, it was just Dr. Faustus being evil. He is the one who hypnotized Sharon Carter into killing Captain America. He's a common Captain America villain who...
Dr. Faustus.
Yeah, his power is hypnotism. It's not a superpower, though. He's just really good at hypnotism.
Why is it not?
I don't know.
Just... Marvel, right now, you retcon everyone whose power is not supernatural or superpowered, and you just retcon it into being that, because it makes no sense that Mysterio doesn't have magic powers.
Yeah, so he is so good at hypnosis that he just has mind control powers.
You know how that would make sense? If they were powers.
But they're not, Zach.
Okay, I don't care. I can't deal with that. He's just that talented. No, it's bullshit. It's fucking stupid.
So,
also, the name is terrible.
Faustus?
Dr. Faust. It's a terrible name. Garbage name.
So, the other thing we talked about last time was the current run by Ta-Nehisi Coates about how he's sort of dealing with the fallout from the time that he was a fascist. Yeah. Yes. One of the things that he discovers on this journey is that one of the side effects of him being brought back to life by the Cosmic Cube is that Peggy is also back to life, too.
Ooh.
And so, again, we've got some... And he and Sharon are a couple, but there's still, like, some weird, like... And she's not old anymore. She's, like... their age, and she's just like kicking around, and it's like awkward. And anyways, that's some weird Captain America retconny stuff.
If there's one thing I've always really cared about when it comes to Captain America, it's not his complex moral choices or his incredible fighting prowess. It's the complex nature and nuance of his love affairs with related women. What? Yeah. Who is reading Captain America for that?
Well, to be fair to him, since World War II, it has just been him and Sharon Carter and like an off and on again sort of thing.
That's fair.
Like the only reason they've been off is because he's been dead or...
Because she killed him.
Yeah, well, one of the fun things is also
that amazing sentence.
At multiple different times, they have each been aged into extremely old people, but not at the same time.
Okay. I believe that does bring us up to the last episode, which we are not recapping.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You don't want to do a brief recap of our recap episode? Because I still think the meta of that would be really fun.
Okay, well, that was pretty great. I mean, that has been a fun year, clearly.
I really, really love doing this podcast with you.
I love it. Oh, that's this is one of my favorite things that I've worked on as an adult.
And it's something that I get to look forward to on a regular basis. You know,
I do have two children, so I guess so being
you also
a dad,
love them, I guess.
Outside of my family, this podcast, of all the creative endeavors that I've pursued in recent memory, this one's just been endless amounts of fun, and I learn stuff and then I forget it, so I get to learn it again. You've just been a great, great partner in this.
And I really like having an excuse to come visit you every other week.
Makes me happy too. This podcast definitely got me through the last year, like in terms of just keeping my spirits up and giving me something to focus on and pursue as an endeavor. It's been really, really great, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now we have the Wheel of Segments back up.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it. We've done a lot of really good segments.
We have. And some we've done multiple times and others? Some we still haven't done yet.
And luckily, the ones that were really specific to a topic, we just happened to spin on that episode.
It's weird how that always like works out. It's like the wheel loves us as much as we love it.
Oh, I love you, wheel. I love you too. We got Dodonua Doombot, which is one I've always really liked. We get to know us a little bit better. Writer's Corner, I think we only did that once, which was good.
We did that point v counterpoint discussion about who was the better Spider-Man.
We got to do that one again.
I did like having, like, not just a discussion, but like an actual argument with you. I think that was
fun. I love arguing with you. It's great. What are some of the other ones?
We did the two truths and a lie, and
I'm always bad at that.
When I'm the trivia master, and
one of my favorites is Sharnold retells it in 5 minutes.
Yep, and you also did the Zach reiterates what he learned, which is basically the same thing, but from your perspective. And we did that one about the Captain America quotes.
Oh yeah, who said it?
And the fuck Mary kill,
which Mary kill for Valentine's Day. Might have. I don't know if that was our best option. No, why not?
Looking back on things, that might be one of the things that I would change.
I would say that it was misogynistic, except the choices were mostly older men.
Look, I had a lot of fun having that discussion with you, but I'm not sure it's something that our listeners gave a shit about.
I just think that it's funny how often the choice came down to whose superpowers won't burn my genitals off. Are there any other ones?
Let's see.
My favorite one, maybe?
Oh, what's that one?
Well, I mean, I got one favorite one.
Do you?
Yeah.
What is it? Adventures in Nominative Determinism?
Adventures in Nominative Determinism? Is that for a Black Widow one? Clairvoyant. God, what a bad name. No, my favorite is Stump Sharnold.
Oh, that makes sense.
And luckily, I have replaced at least 8 of these slots on this wheel with Stump Sharnold. Because I really want it tonight. Like, more so than how it usually always ends up being what I want. Tonight, I really, really want it.
You may have even rigged it.
I might just stop it right in the middle.
Let's see what happens when you spin it.
And two truths. No, fuck that. Stump Sharnold. Land on Stump Sharnold.
Hey, it's Stump Sharnold.
It's Stump Sharnold, goddammit. Fucking wheel. I'm sorry. I love you, wheel. Okay. So we're going to do Stump Sharnold. Mm-hmm. And today, usually you do 5 questions, typically. Mm-hmm. Today we technically have 5 questions, but
how is the number of questions a matter of technicality?
Because there's 10 questions.
There are 5. That doesn't sound like it's the same as 5.
There are 5 overarching questions.
Oh,
but some are multi-part. Not each. No.
Oh, okay. So let's just give them to me. Yeah.
So for this Stump Sharnold, all of the questions are going to be based around the concept of a year, since this is our 1 year anniversary.
Oh.
Number 1. As Rent taught us, there are 525,600 minutes in a year.
Yeah.
Are the following more or less than 525,600?
Okay.
Number 1. The average distance in miles between the Earth and the Moon.
Less.
That is correct. 1 point for Sharnold.
The moon is a lot closer than we think it is.
It is. I thought it was in the 400,000. The average is 240,000.
Yeah.
Okay. The highest known sale price for a copy of Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Okay.
Which is the first appearance of Spider-Man.
As I am well aware.
Yes. The highest sale price.
Oh, is it bigger or smaller? Smaller.
No. The highest sale price that has ever been sold in private sale, not at auction, mm-hmm. is $1.1 million.
Wow.
And it was graded at 9.8, I think.
Whoa.
9.8 or 9.6, which is the highest grade that there's ever been for that issue.
That's crazy. Like, 9.8 is the best that there is, because you could theoretically have a 10, but because comics exist physically, that is never yes. actually the case.
And so it is the highest grade that's ever been examined or graded,
yeah.
and then it sold for $1.1 million. Okay, number 3. Marlon Brando's upfront salary for portraying Jor-El in 1976's Superman. Now, for context, his role was 20 minutes or less than 20 minutes, and he only shot for 13 days.
Yeah, but it's still got to be higher.
It is. It is $3.5 million.
Yeah.
With an 11% back-end deal that got him $19 million in 1976 money.
Wow.
It is insane. Number 4. Christopher Reeve's upfront salary for playing Superman in 1976's Superman.
So I'm going to say less.
It is much less.
Yeah.
It is $250,000.
Wow. I can't imagine.
Although, according to what I've heard, for whatever reason, because Hollywood worked differently in the 70s.
Sure.
It was Brando's name and involvement that allowed the movie to sort of even get distributed.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in it for like a negligible amount of time. And number five, the estimated, now I can get you the source if you need it, the estimated population of Asgard in the MCU, the cinematic universe, pre-Ragnarok.
Oh, wow. Gosh, this is really just a coin flip for me, because I have no idea. But based on how many people we saw in the caves with Heimdall while Hela was being all evil and stuff, I'm going to say lower.
That's correct. It's estimated to be about 50,000.
Cool.
Number two. Question number two. So that was all number one. That was five parts. Question number two. And this one is a two-parter.
Ooh. That's my favorite amount of parts.
Amalgam Comics released 12 issues in 1996. And 1 year later, released another 12 issues. And there's also the Marvel versus DC crossovers that were a part of the whole Amalgam universe. So, part number one. What is the official Marvel Universe multiverse number designation for the Amalgam Universe? And you have multiple choice. A, Earth 1999. Well, I'm sorry, 199,999.
Okay.
Earth 982. Earth 9602. Or Earth 65.
I'm going to say 9602.
Ding, 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 ding. You are correct.
Yeah, because I know that sometimes they number their Earths off of when things were published. So I'm guessing that the first issue of that would have come out in February of 96, and that's why they called it 9602.
Okay, number part two of the same one.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these pairings were not turned into Amalgam characters?
Ah, okay.
Superman and Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Killer Croc and Lizard.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon Grundy and Hulk,
mm-hmm.
or Brimstone and Fing Fang Foom.
I'm going to say Killer Croc and the Lizard. They're too similar. That you crossover wouldn't make anything. Yeah.
It was Killer Croc. No, it was the Lizard and some stupid DC character. I can't remember.
Mr. Mixoplex.
No. No, it was King Shark.
Ah.
Superman and Captain America, they were amalgamed into Super Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon Grundy and Hulk were amalgamed into Skulk. And Brimstone and Fing Fang Foom were amalgamed into Fing Fang Flame.
New favorite character. I know nothing about him but his name, but I love him.
Number three.
Mm-hmm.
So many great shows get canceled after only 1 year.
Ah, that's true.
Which of these survived more than one season?
Okay.
A, Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
B, the original Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
C, the original live-action The Tick.
Mm-hmm.
Or D, Almost Human.
Well, if I recall correctly, Twin Peaks was two seasons, so I'm going to say Twin Peaks.
You are sort of correct. Twin Peaks was two original seasons and then a revival season that just came out. So technically it's three seasons, but for a long time it would have been two. All the others were one. Number four. Who voiced Jim Gordon in the animated film adaptation of Batman Year One? J.K. Okay. You know off the bat.
No.
Listen to my goddamn options. J.K. Simmons, James Gandolfini, Bryan Cranston, or Steven Root?
Bryan Cranston.
You are correct, sir. One of my favorite...
was a guess.
One of my favorite things about that is Batman Year One... Ben McKenzie from The O.C. voiced Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ben McKenzie from The O.C. voiced Jim Gordon in Gotham. Or not voiced, played Jim Gordon in Gotham. And finally, our final question.
All right.
So in the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Not the Marvel Comics universe?
No.
The other MCU.
This is our first year of this podcast. You could say it's sort of like our first phase.
Oh.
So in the first phase of Marvel, which technically didn't take place over 1 year, but that's fine. I'm stretching it to make it work. How many films comprise the first phase of the MCU? Four, six, seven, or nine?
Okay, well, let's see if Sharnold can count, shall we? All right, so Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America... Avengers, and probably Thor 2. So I'm going to say it was 6.
I mean, you are technically correct in the number.
but I picked the wrong.
But you're wrong about the movies. I guess I'll still have to give you the point.
You do.
It was 6. You forgot The Incredible Hulk, which is canonically part of Phase 1.
Is it?
Yep. And so the answer was 6. So you did technically get it.
Yeah.
And so let's see what your score is. Out of 10 points, you got the distance to the moon correct. You didn't get the fantasy. You got upfront salary. You got the Christopher Reeves. You got Ragnarok. So you got 4 points so far. You got the Amalgam Universe. That's 5 points. You got the Amalgam Characters. That's 6 points. You got Twin Peaks. That's 7. Oh, you got Bryan Cranston. That's 8. And then you got the MCU. That's 9. You only missed 1. You got 9 out of fucking 10,
nice.
Bro.
And at least 3 of those were complete in the dark guesses.
Yeah. The best way to answer a question.
Well, that's why I did so well at the SATs.
Well, then that's the episode, I guess. That's been a year. This feels like an accomplishment to me. Like
it does.
Like the end of a real substantial amount of time. This has been a really great year and a really great experience. And
too bad it has to come to a close.
What do you mean?
But thank God we have next year to look forward to. Oh, okay. I mean, the Jesus year. Christ, the year is Charlotte? Over.
I thought you were just ending the podcast. This would be a terrible way to tell me that. Like, you know, we can't end the podcast because you've already read all this Black Panther stuff, and you're really excited for that.
I actually am very excited for our next episode, which is going to be a Black Panther episode. I'm going to tease it like we used to do in the old days when we knew what was coming next.
Ooh, go, go.
Yeah. So in the next episode, I am going to explain how T'Challa became an intergalactic space rebel.
Oh my God. It's so good. Oh, I miss those.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you enjoying this walk down memory lane and update to memory lane. You know how like when they fix a memory lane? Send us your questions, send us your comments. You can find us at doombotspod.com. You can email us doombotspod@gmail.com. Find us on all social media, doombotspod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, other ones that are there. And
I created a TikTok for us.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We haven't posted any content yet, but it exists.
It's just going to be GIFs of Moon Knight twerking.
I'd watch that.
I actually would subscribe to that.
And so we also have a new way of doing sign-offs now.
We do.
Right?
Do you want to sign off this week?
I thought we were going to do it together.
Okay.
Yeah. And remember, like Wolverine, be the best at what you do.
That was so good.
That worked.
'Be the best at what you do.'
Because I am going to say what we do.
I know you are. Okay.